Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Tomorrow is Black Friday. Black Friday. It's the day that you supposedly can get all these special deals. The internet is going mad tonight preparing for Black Friday. Well, I don't know whether you get good deals on Black Friday, whether they just tag on an amount of money before Black Friday comes and then say they take it off again and say that you're getting a good deal. I don't know. But they call it Black Friday tomorrow. Tomorrow is Black Friday for non-essential businesses as well, isn't it? They have to close. Now, non-essential. For the wee man who has the barber's shop or the wee lady who has the hairdresser's shop to tell them that their livelihood is non-essential, I think it's very cruel, personally speaking. So it's a difficult time for businesses who have to close. They would say, if they were here tonight, they would say tomorrow for them is certainly Black Friday. Of course, tomorrow is Black Friday for churches because the churches have to close, and we've already discussed that and talked about that and shared thoughts about that tonight. Churches can't meet for worship while off licenses remain open. While you can go to a garden centre, you can go and play golf because golf courses are open. But dare anybody meet together for a worship service? Seems strange. But yet, let me say this. We've got to look at the positives. We've got to take the positives out of it, folks. And one positive is that on Sunday afternoon, we'll be out in the car park preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel to who knows who will be walking past or sitting at a window or standing at a door listening. Who knows? I don't know, but God knows. And he moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. And so let's take the positives out of it. Even though we can't come into God's house for the next two Sundays, let's remember that we have the opportunity to go out and to obey the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't think we'll be baptizing anybody on Sunday afternoon, but we'll be going and teaching and preaching the gospel. But as I finish tonight, these few thoughts, and just before we get down to prayer, let me take you back to the original Black Friday, to the first Black Friday. We've read about it tonight. I'm referring, of course, to Good Friday, to the day when the Lord Jesus bled and died for our sins. It was Black Friday. Why do I say it was black? Well, because of the darkness that came down. And for 3 hours, from 12 noon until 3 in the afternoon, Christ hung upon the cross in utter, complete darkness. It was just as if God the Father had put a blanket of darkness around the cross. And the Lord Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Good news tonight, folks. You've got the righteousness of God. And so have I. You see, back in the Garden of Eden, Adam only had the righteousness of man. There's a difference. Adam and Eve, created in innocence, say they had the righteousness of man. But we tonight who are saved through the finished work of Christ, we have the righteousness of God, the apostle says. We have been made already the righteousness of God in Christ. Whenever the Savior was hanging on the cross in that black darkness, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we've read it there in verse 46 earlier. Emmanuel's orphaned cry, someone has called it. This is the central cry of the cross. You remember there are seven cries that came from the lips of Christ on Calvary. Central cry, cry number four, is this one. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's the only cry that is recorded by two evangelists. It's recorded by Matthew, and it's also recorded by Mark. None of the other seven cries are recorded by more than one of the evangelists. But this one is recorded twice. It seems to be that the Holy Spirit is laying emphasis on this central cry. The idea here in this mental anguish of Christ is distance. That's the key word. You could write that word over the Savior as he hangs that Black Friday, that original Black Friday, that first Black Friday, as he hangs there and as he becomes sin for us and as he tastes hell for us. You could write over it distance. As you listen to those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's all about distance. There is an immense, infinite distance between the Father and the Son now in this cry. Distance. There's been a lot of talk about distance this year. It has to be one of the phrases of the year that has been most used, social distance. People talk about keeping your distance. So much talk about distance. What about the distance at the cross? The distance that there was between God the Father and God the Son in order that you and I might be saved and be found in a prayer meeting. It was the distance, we could say, between heaven and hell. If that distance can be calculated even. The distance between the east and the west. An infinite distance. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And all because of that first Black Friday. And let me finish by saying that in this cry, you will notice that the Lord Jesus refers not to the Father, but to God. In Gethsemane, he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Which, by the way, meant, Father, don't let me die in Gethsemane because I want to go to Calvary to die for those sinners in new buildings. Don't let the devil kill me in the Garden of Gethsemane before my redemptive work is completed. I have heard people say, preachers say, oh, when Christ was in Gethsemane and he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, he didn't want to go to the cross. He was trying to get out of the cross. But the cross was the very reason he had come into the world. So I don't believe for a moment that he was trying to somehow wriggle out of it. No, the enemy was oppressing him and attacking him to such a degree that our Holy Savior felt that he was about to die in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he cries out, "Father, let this cup pass from me." But when you get to Calvary and that first Black Friday, it's no longer Father, it's God. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Isn't it unbelievable that the eternal Son of God used that word, "why"? Did he not understand what was happening? Why? Well, we can relate to him, can't we, in our world today? There are so many things as believers that we don't understand. I mean, do you understand why the Lord has permitted churches to close again? Do you understand it? I don't. But there is some purpose. There's some reason. And the Lord Jesus himself said in John chapter 13 with his disciples gathered in the upper room, do you remember what he said? "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Folks, see, when we get to glory, and we might be there sooner than we think, but when we get to glory, we'll understand why the churches were closed. And we'll understand all the things in life that we couldn't understand. We'll understand it better by and by.